with a jet lag. Last night I came to Phil by 9 o'clock. I slept like a dead man. And morning 3 o'clock, I woke up and I made my coffee, and God gave me the word. And it's such a wonderful pleasure and great time to meet together one more time in the face of the earth. We are very closer to the return of Christ. The time is running out like anything. And it's a wonderful privilege that God has given us one more time to meet each other. I really thank Brother Fadden for giving me this wonderful opportunity and the confidence that he is having in me. Many times when we speak, a lot of things, while we were driving, we both share a lot of our thoughts. But his spirit and my spirit always go like this, because we both are led by the Spirit of God. And it's a great time to see you one more time. And God is doing his final work before he returns. But at the same time, the devil is on his own way, and he's doing his business in a very extreme force to destroy everything. But God gave a promise to the church that I will build my church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Right now in India, we are ruled by the fanatic Hindu religious government, and they are causing a lot of trouble to the Christian work and the missionary work in the Indian land. But really, God's great protection is upon us. Especially in the northern part of India, a lot of ministers were killed and the church properties were burnt, and a lot of things are going on. But all through the church age, if you read the history, without bloodshed, the God's church was not survived. And so it is a great privilege to be a part, to be a persecutor for Christ, sake of Christ. And also, we need your precious prayers, and the whole world is looking for the enemy to come. This time when I landed in the United States, I found a little strange thing in the area of the immigration. It said global entry. They have special scanning missions and everything for that. Each and every country, when I come, it means I'm entering a country. It's not entering a globe. So there is a system they are bringing now. It's called the global entry. So all this kind of technology and all this kind of things, it really shows that the wicked is going to come very soon. And before that, God wants to take his bride to be with him. And time is very important, and every year and every day we move is so precious to us. Let us prepare ourselves to meet the Master very soon. This morning I would like to share a word of God to you, and I really want the church to pray for us. The prayer is the greatest weapon that we can uphold each other. And the devil is trying his level best, and the whole system is just going down. And the devil is trying to, the Bible says, he's a stealer, he's a liar. But the God is the one who gives a life to it. And recently I heard one of the speech of the greatest, well-profound doctor internationally. He's from India. He'd been to Harvard University, he'd been to Oxford and all big universities, and he wrote a lot of theses, and he wrote medical articles in the many great medical journals. And when I heard one of his speech, it was really shocking to me. In In the year of 60s, when he was a student in a medical school, the blood pressure rate was 160 by 100. And that was the average, you know. So in that time, if 100 patients comes to the hospital, only for the five people, the doctor gave the prescription, because rest of the people, they were having 160 by 100. So they were fine. But later on, the medical foundation, they started to giving a much pressure. It's a deal between the drug company. They slowly brought down the average to 120 by 80. So from that time, if 100 person goes to the hospital, almost 90, 95 people came with the prescription. So how the devil is trying. The Bible never gave the average for our blood pressure. If we are driving our car in a plane, planes means it's a flat ground, the engine always adopts his pressure. So, but at the same time, if it takes in a high steep, we have to give more pressure. So the God designed our human body in a way how to fluctuate the thing automatically. So the animals are not going and checking their blood pressure. We human being, intellectual knowledge makes us to stand before that fools to get that stupid prescriptions. Amen. That all chemicals are really destroying us. Amen. There was one of the greatest, I was really shocked when I was in America. One time I was staying in a home and a brother told me, "Brother, help yourself. We have everything, whatever you want, you take, cook yourself, eat, enjoy. We are going out." So husband and wife, they both are working. So I just morning, I woke up, I fresh myself, and I went to the kitchen. I started opening the each and every cabinet, what's there? When I opened a cabinet, there was full of medicines. There was full of medicine, different colors. I shocked. What's going on here? And when I started to think about all these things, God has blessed us with a wonderful health. He took all of our sickness on the cross of Calvary. And in the medical industry, the drug industry is the second largest multi-trillion industry in the world. So they want to prescribe everything on us. They want to make money. But God's divine healing is always there. Yeah. Why I'm telling this? Because I've really felt much worried about the American people, how they are very much adopted with this each and everything. God built our system as with the immune system, you know, how to rectify itself, you know. And 200 years before, if somebody gets a headache, he will just put something and have a cup of coffee, and he should have prayed. But now even immediately our hand goes to the Tylenol or Advil or something to take that. So we are addicted to the prescribed medicine. The purpose behind it, there is a spirit working behind. It's trying to take our health. It's trying to take our wealth. The recently one of the greatest doctors in America, he found a mitochondrial chip. And he gave that chip with the food, herbal food, you know. So he was just monitoring in the computer, and the human system was just absorbing, because it's all friendly. But at the same time, he sent that mitochondrial chip with all these chemical medicines, and he found that human body is rejecting, and finally it attacks the liver. So this is the way these medical theories are just fooling us. Just believe God. Just believe God. No matter what sickness you have, the God bore all our sickness on the cross of Calvary. They were trying to take our wealth. They are trying to take our health. They want to take our money and everything. But God is always faithful to heal us. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. He's always faithful. I don't know why I felt this to say. I want to say, maybe you all may be blessed. Amen. This morning, I would like to lead your attention to the Word of God. Let us all open our Bibles. Go to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter number 12, verse number 11. Deuteronomy 12:11. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithings and the e-offering of your hand, and all your choice vow which ye vow unto the Lord. I would like to speak on a title called God's Chosen Place for His Name to Dwell. God's Chosen Place for His Name to Dwell. Let's all pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning hour. Lord, we come to your presence, O Father. Let your anointing come upon, rest upon us. Lord, I commit all these brothers and sisters who are standing in this place. Let your mighty touch and come and rest upon them and heal them spiritually and physically, mentally, in whatever they need. And let your presence come forth to us, O God. We need your visitation. Bless thy word, O God. And you are the author of the word. You have to give an interpretation to thy word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. When God called the people of Israelites, they are the chosen people for God. According to the prophecy which God gave to Abraham, these people, the people of Israelites, they were multiplied and they become many millions in the land of Egypt. Almost 430 years they were dwelling in the land of Egypt. And later on, God sent Moses, bring my people out. Let them come and have a sacrifice and worship. I want to dwell among them. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may come and dwell among them. And when God called these people, as a great multitude, they just left the land of Egypt and they were walking in the wilderness. In that time, God took Moses to the mountain and God gave me three things. Number one is the Ten Commandments. The second one is the law. The third one is the construction of the tabernacle. And after he received those instructions from God, he came down from the mountain. When he saw the people were just wicked and they are corrupting themselves, and the wrath of God came. And afterwards, according to the instruction, Moses tried to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. So God always wants a place, his name to be recorded. And God always wants a place, his name to be dwell. So, if you study the structure of the tabernacle, it's so such a fascinating thing, and it has each and every part as a spiritual understanding. If you look about the tabernacle, there is only one entrance is there. So it is a shadow that Jesus is the way. Amen. So once you enter that way, there is no sideways to come to the kingdom of God. Nowadays, the lot of denominational churches, they are showing the people and distracting the people with their different doctrines to jump over the wall to get into the kingdom of God. There is no way. Jesus is the only way. And the religions are showing a lot of things. That after, as soon as a person enters that main entrance, he will see the altar where they can make a sacrifice. Without shedding of blood, no one can enter into the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And afterwards, he has to cleanse himself in a water where the brazen bowl full of water is there. Then he enters into the holy place. Then finally enters into the Holy of Holies. So the Christ came and he went through that entrance and he put an anchor in the Holy of Holies. Even if the religion distracts our attention in a different ways to destroy our life, still the rope which comes out of that anchor, it's still there. We can find it if we seek him. So God's chosen place was built. But the point is, God cannot just record his name everywhere. He wants to record and put his name in a place where he can dwell. If you read certain scriptures in the Bible, the later on in the time of David, David wanted to build a beautiful temple for the Lord because he was a king. He was dwelling in a big palace and he wanted to build a big temple. But in the time of Solomon, the thing was fulfilled. And if you study all these kind of things, God never allow these people who wanted to build a sanctuary for the Lord never to put their intellectual ideas in order to build a sanctuary for the Lord. If you study, Moses was such a great knowledgeable man. He studied the great things in the land of Egypt, you know. If you study the book of Exodus, it says he built two cities for the Pharaoh. Ramesses and Fithom is the two cities. The man who built a city and constructing a small tabernacle is just a small thing. If you take a big architect in the city of Philadelphia, the man who builds the 400 floors or 200 floors, big skyscrapers, if you go to him and make a small drawing for your home, he will never do that. He will always seek some big projects, you know. It's a common thing. He will always seek for the big plans and things. If you ask him, you just tell him, just go and do your work with some other ordinary people, you know. But God called Moses to do a sanctuary for him. God never allowed his human mind to be there. And God said, the Bible says, Exodus chapter number 25, verse number 40 says, the Exodus 25:40 says, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. The Bible is very clear here. The God gave him an instruction and also God gave him a pattern. So the duty of the Moses is just to follow the instruction and look at the pattern, and he has to bring a sanctuary for the Lord. If you read one more scripture in the book of Hebrews, the apostle also quoting that same thing. Let us all turn to book of Hebrews. chapter number 8, verse number 5. I have a new Bible, so all the pages are sticking with each other. I'm sorry. The Bible says, "Who serve unto the example and the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mountain." So it's very important. God always has his own standard. God always has his own pattern. He never agrees with our human ideas. So God always plays everything according to his own likeness and perfect will. So when Moses built a tabernacle, he placed everything according to the pattern of God. And secondly, in the time of Solomon, when he tried to build a tabernacle, the King David, he just collected a lot of the gold, silver, and precious things and everything. But at the same time, the Bible says, the First Chronicles chapter number 28, verse number 19 says, "All this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." Even though he was a king, God never allowed him to construct the temple by his own. And Bible says, and God gave him a perfect instruction and made him to understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of the pattern. So God always has his own pattern. Because the God is holy, his name is holy. So that dwelling place must be so correctly according to the perfect will of God. So when all through the ages, when God chosen a place to dwell and to record his name, and he chosen a right place which is rightly according to the scripture. In the time of Elijah, when he came to make a sacrifice unto the Lord, the prophets of Baal, they just damaged and they did everything wrong. So when his time came, he repaired the altar and finally he made a prayer, "Lord, remember that everything I did according to thy word." So after that prayer, the sacrifice was accepted. The fire came from heaven and consumed everything. My dear brothers and sisters, in this last time, the devil is trying to pervert everything. The Bible says they have the form of godliness, but they are denying the power of God. Even the religion, they are doing the same thing. The way they do certain things, the way they do certain ceremonials, the way they worship things, everything looks like they are doing everything godly. Even if you come to the Christian realm, the same thing is happening. Each and every church, each and every organization, they are doing, have their own pattern how to make an worship unto the Lord. But God always has his own pattern. And God wants his name to be dwell in a place where that worship and sacrifice made according to the word of God. So it is a very time. God is not overlooking God. God is not a God of compromising God. Of course, he can forgive all of our sins. Of course, we are all human beings. We can do mistakes. We can go out of way. Sometimes we can backslide. But still, he is so merciful to restore us back. But he will never accept our mistakes. And he will try to overlook it. When Christ came to the world, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word was manifested in flesh. And Christ came to the world, and in Him, His name was recorded. And the Bible says, there's a child is going to born. You have to name the child as Jesus, because He is going to take the sins of the world. The angel came and gave the name Yeshua. It means the Old Testament Yahweh. He has become the Savior. The many Trinitarian brethren, they could not understand those things. But if you read the scripture very carefully, the John 17 is such a wonderful chapter. Once you go back to home, sit, relax, and read that chapter carefully, scripture by scripture, line by line, word by word, you can find such a fascinating truth which is hidden inside. Let us go to the John chapter 17, verse number 6. John 76 says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thank you, Lord. Thine thy word, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Here the Bible talks very clear. Christ came to manifest and to reveal the name unto men. So the name which He bore and came into the world, the Yeshua, is the name of the Father. And He revealed that name to the humanity in this New Testament time. Of course, in the among the message realm, there is another strange doctrine is going on. I don't know about United States. In India, they say we have to be baptized, everybody, in the name of Yeshua. So that kind of things are going on. I don't want to go into that. But that was the Hebrew name was spoken by the angel. But the Bible says that was the name that God revealed to the New Testament church. Amen. The Bible says by word or deed, whatever you do, you have to do it in that name. Because Christ came to the world, He was a bearer of the name, which is the name above all names. And also in the same scripture, Jesus is telling another verse in 26, John 17, 26, it says, and I have declared unto them thy name. In the scripture 6, he says, I manifest. The manifest and the reveal, it's almost same meanings. Here he says, declare. So the declaration is an official, authentic statement. I don't know how to explain more than that. So, for example, I can give you some example. If the presidential election comes next year, people will be very surprised when the election is going to happen. So everybody will have their own views and thoughts and ideas and assumptions. But finally, when the White House makes a declaration about the dates of the presidential election, that is the authentic and the final word from the government. So it means declaration. So Christ came with the word name, not only to reveal, but to declare. Amen. So the name of Jesus, it's not only a revealed name. The name of Jesus is a declared name to us. Amen. So the many times now, a lot of the churches, they are trying to hide that name. In that name, the power is there. In that name, the salvation is there. In that name, the great miracles are there. We have to pronounce that name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
In India, the traditional churches, the Anglican churches is a very popular big thing in India. Now they are trying to bring a Bible called a common Bible, they say. Common Bible. It means it's a common to every religious people. In that Bible, you cannot find any place the name Jesus. They always say, God, 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 God. So as a man, I have some common names, but what is my proper name? That's a Johnny Davis. So my every proper name of every human being is so important. If our names are so important, how important is the name of God? Without that name, you can't do anything. So Christ came to the world not only to reveal, but to declare the name officially. That is the reason. One time a Trinitarian brother, he made an argument with me. He said, brother, the Peter made a mistake. He should have baptized according to the Matthew 28:19 in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But when I made some research study on that, I found that scripture was altered. In the church history, the one of the man called Ephesus, he only brought that thing. The original script, Matthew 28:19, go ye all over the world, baptize. That's all. And later on, the people, they added, you have to be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I have the proof. If you go to the Google is a fine thing. You can just pick it up, everything. you can just Google it up. You can find the information on that. So the devil is trying it. If you read the scripture in John 3:17, that scripture is not originally. I have a Scofield Bible with me. The Scofield Bible, the man who wrote this commentary on this Bible, he is a Pucker Trinitarian. But he said in the note, in the John 3:17, he says, it's not in the original. In the heaven, the three persons are record their name, the Father, Son, and that scripture is not in authentication. It's put it within the brackets. So the devil is trying to hide the power of that name. So the tabernacle and the temple of Solomon, and Jesus said, you destroy this temple, I will build it in 3 days. Those Jewish people, they are intellectually thinking, our King Solomon took almost 40 years to build this temple. How this man could build that temple within 3 days? God is not meaning the building. God is means himself. Amen. He was a temple, came from heaven to fulfill the scriptures with the name that is the name of Jesus. Amen. So the name which was recorded in the tabernacle, the name which was recorded in the temple of Solomon, the name which was recorded in Jesus Christ, now God wants to record that same name in this last time in you and me. Let us all turn to the book of Acts chapter number 15. The book of Acts, chapter number 15, verse 14 to 16. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentile to take out them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. So here the apostle quoting the scripture, the prophecy which was already spoken by Isaiah, the Isaiah 43, if you read that, the same scripture is there. Let's all read one more time. Isaiah 43, 7 to 9. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this? And she has formed these things. Let them bring forth their witness, and they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is the truth. So God has chosen a group of people from all across the world to record his name. That is the Church of the Living God. Amen. That's why Paul is writing in his epistle, you are the Church of the Living God. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. And the Bible says very clearly, we are the dwelling place of God. So each and every place with God, which God chosen in his lifetime to record his name, everything was under his perfect will. Everything was under his perfect construction. Everything was under his perfect guidance and pattern. Moses never violated not even one thing. Solomon never violated not even one thing. And each and every people, when they build a sanctuary for the Lord, they build everything according to the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. When Jesus Christ came, he was not the violator of the word. He was the word and he fulfilled the word. Amen. And he not only preached the word, he lived according to the word. Amen. And if you read the scripture in the book of Hebrews, thou hast prepared me a body. I came to fulfill, because it is written, it is written, it is written. So the Christ came into the world as a record of his name, and everything was according to the pattern of God. And finally, we are the chosen people of God. And God wants to record his name on us. And we are the chosen people of God to declare, to magnify, to proclaim that great name. If you read a scripture in the 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. From verse number 14 to 18, it says, be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers. Amen. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Amen. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he hath believeth within the infidel? And what agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out of among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. So God has chosen a group of people to be his sons and daughters. In them, God wanted to record his name. That is the reason we all baptize, not in the titles. We are all baptized in the name. We all become the children of God. See, any child gets the name of the father not by making an application. Any child never gets to use the name of the father by paying some money. The birth decides that. Since I born to my father, I got the name Davis with me. Since my father born to my his father, he got his name Davis. So the Davis is our family name. It just come from one generation to another. My son is Arthur Davis. So he got the name Davis. He is not paying any subscription to me. He is not giving any application or request to me. But by birth, he got the name. So in the kingdom of God, we are not joined people. We are born in the kingdom of God. Not by the corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. If God has put us in a position to be as a sons and daughters of God, we are the temple of God. We are the dwelling place of God. If anyone defiles this thing, God will destroy him. The judgment is coming upon them. The most of the pathetic and the sad thing among the Christian realm today, they are bringing the different doctrines. They are bringing different patterns. They are bringing different ideas, which is totally against the word of God. In these last days, there is only one pattern which is acceptable by God. That is the word of the God Almighty.
Amen.
Even among the message brethren, they are bringing lot of things which we are not able to digest. The day by day they are bringing new things. Because of that, the name of Jesus is being blasphemed. And because of their wrong things, the doctrine is being cursed among the heathens. Some of the questions, what this I was raised up as a message boy since I was born. I love everything. I love the message. I love the teachings. I love the doctrine and everything. When I was grown up in the mid of the 90s, the beginning of the 94, 95, the lot of strange things started to come, different angles. Lot of things came from United States. Some things came from Africa. Some things came from Europe. We were not able to digest what to do. My dear brothers and sisters, God sent a man in this last day with a purpose in order to bring each and every one of us to the pattern of God. Brother Branham, he never preached a new pattern. He never brought a new doctrine. He never preached a new Bible. His ministry was to bring us back to the pattern which was lost in the church ages. I told you before, one of the Trinitarian brethren, he made an argument with me. He said, Peter made a mistake. How he could baptize people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And Jesus spoke one of the wonderful scripture to his disciple. He said, the day will come, you all will be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will remind you. See, if I'm receiving a new information, it's not a reminder, it's a new information. So once it's spoken, after some days or a month or a year, if somebody is coming and telling me that same thing, it means a reminding. You got my point? So telling something new is not a reminding. The reminding means it's already spoken. So on the day of Pentecost, the power of God came and the apostle was filled by the Holy Ghost. He was speaking to the people, repent and every one of you to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a new information to the, it may be a new information to the people. It is a reminder by the Holy Ghost through the apostles.
Amen.
Because Christ already spoken lot of things, but those things were not recorded in the four Gospels. But the Holy Ghost came. Sometimes this disciple, they were not able to comprehend a lot of things. They were just like a silly things. Sometimes they said they asked some silly questions. Jesus was so patient. Lot of funny questions they asked. Something like a very ignorant child they asked. But God was trying to train them 3.5 years. But when they are filled with the Holy Ghost, all the information it was occupied in the mind, it just came out by the power of the Holy Ghost. And all through the church ages, the church has traveled like a roller coaster and gone to a different directions. And in this last age, God sent a prophet with the message, not the new message. It was already spoken. It was already given to the church. And he came to restore the church back to the original status. In English, there is a lot of words: renew, restore, reconcile, redeem, rebuild, reconstruct, renovation. All these words starts with R-E. It means it is already existed before. If somebody is building a new house, he is constructing a new house. After the construction was happened, after 20 years, he just breaks off everything and putting a lot of new things means he's renovating. Reconciliation means once we were all both friends, something was happened, our relationship was broken, now we are reconciling. If I'm meeting a new person in a new place, that's not a reconciliation, it's a new introduction. So all the words re means it's already existed before. Somewhere it's lost, somewhere it was broken, somewhere it gone out of the way. God sent a man not to bring a new thing, but to restore, but to restore, but to restore, but to restore.
Praise the living Lord. Amen, brother.
These people are just taking this message and they are cooking up a lot of things. Because when they take the message, this message must bring them back to the Word of God. Brother Branham, what he preached, it's already there inside the Word of God. The devil has blinded our eyes and God opened our eyes. Revelation means unveiling. The unveiling means if I put my handkerchief on it, somebody can come and touch it. What it is? Everyone will say new things. Some maybe say it's a small stick. Some maybe say it's a snake. Some may say it's a candy bar. But once I take this cloth out, the reality has come. The truth has come. And God revealed and unveiled our eyes to see what is the truth. And wrong interpretations are coming. If anything is not coming from the Word of God, it's not coming from God. It is coming from some other thing. So it is a very important thing in our life. If you read the book of Malachi, the Bible says he will come and restore. He will restore everything. He will turn the hearts, not our brains. All over the message preachers, they are very, very proud, you know. They always think, we know everything. We know this doctrine. We know that doctrine. I don't know. It's your brain has turned, but still your heart is not turned. If there is a good sign your heart is turned, we will exactly reveal the divine nature of God. Some of the things I'm not able to digest. If you go to the social network, even the message brethren, they're cursing with each other. They're condemning each other. They're destroying each other. They don't have a patience and divine love to go to that particular man and tell him, brother, what you're doing is wrong. Please come back to God. I want to help you. I want to pray for you. Why don't you do that? Why don't you help your brother to restore back to God? The message we believe is not a message of destruction. The message that we believe is a message of restoration.
Amen.
It must bring back to us, to God, no matter how miserable we are, how backslided we are, still he's bled as a power to restore our life.
Amen.
My dear brothers and sisters, It is a time to back to the God's original pattern. All these interpretations are not the God's pattern. If it is a God's pattern, it will be always tally with the word of God. So man's cook up ideas. We have to be very careful when we read Brother Branham's message. One time I was reading the biography of Brother Branham. The Holy Ghost just insisted me in my heart. He was not a foreigner. His message was the foreigner. When I typed that thing in all through his message, he made that same statement. Your message will foreign. Your message will foreign. Your message will foreign. Brother Branham, he just traveled almost 14 to 18 countries in his lifetime. He never been to all over the world. In all the meetings that he went to the different parts of the world, he went to conduct only the evangelistic crusades. But how the great people, the sons and daughters of our God, come in these last days because his message makes an impact there. It goes all over the world in a different translations, in a book form, in a CD form, in a different patterns it goes. And God brings his people out of the Babylonian captivity to come and restore back to God. But now, the problem is the people who are claiming themselves that they are in the message, now they are creating, destroying a lot of things. Lot of interpretation, lot of things, lot of new funny doctrines they are bringing, and they are trying to take the God's people away from the original thing. It is a time to be very careful in these last days. We are the people chosen by God for his name to dwell and to record and to be magnified. So I am the child of God. I am a son of God. Is my life is exactly like according to the pattern of God? If there is anything in my life which is controversial, which is contradictory to the word of God, it is my duty to set right everything. That is the condition of the Laodicean church. God is waiting outside the church, but still he knocks. But the knocking thing was written in the Revelation. If any man hears my voice, not the sound. The what I'm speaking is the voice, but this is the sound. There's a difference between the sound and the voice. The knocking of the door, it's mentioned in the Bible not as a sound, it's a voice. It means God's crystal clear counseling is coming towards the people to repair and restore everything back. It is very, very important. God wants to dwell among us. And the Bible says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, and God will destroy him. I have met a lot of Pentecostal brethren sometimes, and they always have a high opinion about Brother Branham, but they never want to read those books. Because they feel it's something like an alien thing, you know. But when I try to explain them what people are doing, what he did, then he said, oh, we really misunderstood, brother. We are sorry. So who brings the destruction? Who is spoiling the things? We are the people who are claiming themselves in the message. We are the great troublers nowadays. It is a time for us to be very careful. God, we are the dwelling place of God. If anyone, we have to respect the word of God. The wisdom is, what is the wisdom? The Proverbs 1, it says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. God wants his bride to be wise. If she is really wise, she must fear God. If I fear God, I will respect the word of God. So we don't have anything to do with all this kind of human interpretations. So when we study Brother Branham's message, I always used to classify the things into the three parts. That's the way I study Brother Branham. As a common man. He makes a lot of statements, his experiences, his things. He went for hunting and traveling, a lot of things. He gives a lot of information. And the other thing, he said, thus saith the Lord. It's exactly the prophecy. It came to pass. And a lot of things in his messages, he said, I predict. You can just put the search mode and say, put the word predict, means a lot of predictions are coming. In different messages, he mentioned the prediction is not a confirmed statement. It's an assumption. It's guessing. So as a preacher, he has a right to make his own comment on things by guessing. But that's not, thus saith the Lord. Because of all these things, there is a man in India. He always tells the people, there was a prophet, the number of prophets who are not bowed down before the Baal is not 7,700. And one time Brother Branham, he preaches like that. In one of the question and answers, they are asking him, in the Bible it says 7,000, but you said 700. And said, it's my preaching mistake. He just confessed and finished the problem. But now what this guy says, it's a revelation God gave to the prophet. This is not correct. That statement is correct. My dear brothers and sisters, it is a time to be back to the pattern of God. God always has his own pattern. God always has his own standard. His standard. When God told Moses to make incense, and to put the golden altar, the fire will be there. They have to put that incense all the time. The smoke will come. That God smelled it as a good smelling. And God gave an instruction. You should not make an incense to you according to the same standard and quality what you're doing for me. You should not do that. So that is one of the greatest instruction God gave to Moses. So you are all the human being. So what he tries to say, I never give my glory to anyone. God is a God. He is always a supreme power. He is a supreme being. He is unlimited being. And that being wanted to dwell among us. We are the limited beings. And God wants to rest upon our lives. And all through the ages, God wanted to dwell among the people of Israel. They just rejected. They were just gone out of the way. But on the day of Pentecost, when they gathered in the upper room, the great almighty God and came and started to dwell among the people. In the simply, his dwelling was so simple. And God wants our life to be according to his pattern. If anything is controversial to the word of God, it is our time to set right. And before I conclude my speech, I would like to say one example. One time in a house, there was a girl. And her mom, she tried to teach her how to make cooking. And one day the father came from the office and he was very hungry. The daughter came and served the food. And after he took the 2-3 spoons of the food, and father made a comment, you are exactly cooking like your mommy. And she was so happy. And she was so surprised about the comment what the father made. She said, thank you, Dad. And later on, she grown up, she got married and moved to the different city and started to live a different life. Her father, one day, he wanted to visit her daughter. So he took a traveling and went there. And because the papa coming, she prepared a nice meal. She knows what daddy likes, so she makes a nice food. So in that time, when he took the food, he made the comment, the food what I ate while you were with us, it's entirely different what I'm eating now. And she said, Dad, that time I cooked the food in a way that you like. Now I cook the food in a way how my husband likes. So we have to come to the pattern of God. Certain duration of time, we always did things by ourselves. But now we are chosen by God. We are the children of God. We all must come to the pattern of God. That is the most important thing in our life. We are the people chosen by God. So in this world, God never recorded his name in the White House. God never recorded his name in any other thing. God never recorded his name in any political system. God never recorded his name in any entrepreneurs or business people or any other thing. God recorded his name among his people. So whatever we do, it brings a glorification to God. If we do anything wrong, it is blaspheming and destroying the name of Jesus. We are the chosen people by God for his name to be recorded. And God will say, I will walk in them. I will dwell among them. I will be their God. I will be your father. You will be my sons and daughters. I hope you all will understand my English. So we are the people called by God to record, to bear his name. May the Lord bless you to adding the wording of his word. Amen.